Star, brother and sister, G.B. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. March 29, 1900. Dear brother and sister Star, we had a pleasant journey. From 2 o'clock until we reached Sydney, Sarah and I were alone in the compartment. The gentleman and lady sitting opposite me were not as you might expect. Her tears were of short duration in parting with her friends. It was not long before he put his head out of the window and commenced smoking a cigarette. Quickly, I felt a sharp pain like a knife in my heart. I knew not that he was smoking, but I exclaimed, "Where does this tobacco smoke come from?" This was a ladies' compartment, and he had no business there, but we said nothing about it. But when he took the liberty of smoking, Sarah pointed him to the notice in the car, "No smoking." The supposed lady, so full of weeping, appeared greatly amused and showed her contempt of the restriction by her laughter. How plainly characters will reveal themselves. Those who have little real good solid sense will not be able to disguise their true, shallow characters. They bear testimony of their cheap, foolish character building. At the next station, both left for another compartment where the man could have the liberty of smoking to his heart's content. The two ladies and little lad remained with us. When we changed cars, they came into the same compartment. This left Sarah no chance to lie down, as there was one seat devoted to the little lad and myself, and as there was a lavatory in the compartment, the short seat compelled all to sit bolt upright. But after 2 o'clock, we were highly favored with seats to lie down, and I fared just as if on the sleeper and saved my sleeping car fare, which is something over $6. In Sydney, called at a dentist's and had my underset improved so those teeth do not torture my gums. I am entirely relieved, and to think how much I have suffered for 4 weeks when 3 minutes' work removed all difficulty. But that 3 minutes' work cost me 50 cents. After we were left alone in the car, I enveloped all my American mail, which was no small job, for we were close to the engine, and the joggling did not help us much. But that mail cost me over 4 shillings. I had agreed to speak in the evening, which you know is contrary to my practice. I spoke from Isaiah 58, dwelling especially on the last verses, 10 to 14. The power of the Lord was upon me. I felt strong. The Lord gave the message that I should bear, and the congregation was deeply moved. Elder Colcord invited all who wished to be children of God and followers of Jesus Christ to arise. I think everyone was on his feet. Then he said he would ask how many who had heard the message given to them in the power and Spirit of God would take their stand that night to obey the commandments of God. Quite a number arose to their feet, and we all praised the Lord. It was a decided victory gained. I did not get to rest until 10 o'clock. Sarah wakened me at 2 o'clock, and before 3, we were in a carriage on our way homeward. We drove in at our gate at 8 o'clock, and I wrote 14 pages of letter paper for Maggie to copy. I had not written to New Zealand since the terrible calamity had befallen them of the loss of their 2 boys. Nothing has been heard of the boat or of the passengers. Sister Wesley Hare sent me a present of £50 for myself, but you know the indebtedness to the carpenters and more especially to the plasterers. They wanted their money, and I gave it right over to pay those debts. Then I was told again that the African mail must be ready Friday morning. And I am now trying to get that off. Have written many pages. You see that I cannot cease work. I think I shall understand my duty if I should be at the camp meeting. Now the ministers in Maitland are just doing their uttermost to oppose all that may be done. There are quite a number all around that are awakened. The matter presents itself to me in this way. The ministers have garbled up matters of Scripture in such a way that the members of the churches, unaccustomed to reading and searching the Scriptures, are easily misled by false interpretations. I have thought if we could get a tent and pitch that tent in East Maitland or in the very park where it did stand, but it seems better to find a new location. We could have 2 weeks' meeting with some of our strongest men to help in the effort. The people would be better prepared to see the subjects of the Sabbath and the third angel's message brought out in their decided importance. They would see the difference between fables and sound gospel truth. We think they would all then understand better. In haste. I am very sorry to send such a defective writing. I supposed it could be copied, but it is impossible.